Can I read Romans 16 to you? Okay. Let's talk more rock. Here we go. So Paul, in this later chapters of Romans, and I think 16 is the last chapter, if I'm not mistaken, it's kind of hard, like I said last week, to pull out some of the gold, because this whole portion of Scripture that I'm about to read you is literally just a greetings time and a thanking time and a recognition of people in Paul's life. And you can read it, and it can be very dry. In fact, a lot of times, if I know these parts are coming up within Scripture, I'll skip them because they have names that I don't know how to pronounce. Does anybody else do that? You can be honest. Oh, we're about a bunch of names again. That sucks. Who wrote this thing? Yeah. So, we're going to play a name game. You guys ready? Anytime you see a name on the screen, whether of a town or a person, I want one of you or many of you to just shout out how you would pronounce that name. Deal? So when I read it, you're not like, well, that's not how I would have said it. Okay? I want you all to say it as you would say it. This is the name game. Towns or people, okay? Can we do this? I trust you. I don't want dead silence when we hit the first name. Was he serious? Because I will stop and we will start over, okay? Deal? Here we go. If you have a Bible, I want you reading along with me. If you don't have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible. There's free Bibles out front. They're right next to the earplugs. Maybe you found the earplugs today. But then it's also going to be on the screen behind me. We're going to read it out of the Message, which is just a translation of the Bible. Some people translate the Bibles, and the Message is more of a conceptual translation. It deals with the concepts of what's happening, not literally a word-for-word translation of what we found in the Greek and Hebrew and all those things. Make sense? So we're going to read it out of the Message. Here we go. Romans 16. Be sure to welcome our friend in the way of the Master. The way of the Master, that's kind of a weird flowery description of Jesus, of God. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message, sometimes pulls out weird things like that. I think it would have been easier to just say Jesus, right? Eugene didn't. So, be sure to welcome our friend in the way of the Master with all generous hospitality we Christians are famous for. If you're not generous at hospitality, you probably should check that, because Paul's saying that we're supposed to be famous for that, right? I hardly endorse both her and her work. She is a key representative of the church at. Help her out in whatever she asks. She deserves anything you can do for her. She's helped many a person, including me. Say hello to Anne, who have worked hand in hand with me in serving Jesus. They once put their lives on the line for me, and I am not the only one grateful to them. All non-Jewish gatherings of believers also owe them plenty, to say nothing of the church that meets in their house. Hello to my dear friend. You guys differed on that one a little bit. He was the very first follower of... That was too easy. That was too easy. That's the first one I heard him say. And no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Of Jesus in the province of? Hello to? Thank you. What a worker she has turned out to be. Hello to my cousins. It was kind of like the wave. It like started over here and then just ended over here. That was pretty sweet. We once shared a jail cell. Huh. They were believers in Christ before I was. Both of them are outstanding leaders. Hello to my good friend in the family of God. Hello to our companion in Christ's work. And that was weird. And my good friend. Is that my mic? Let me switch. Nobody got time for that. Yeah. Yeah. Hello to a tried and true veteran in following Christ. Hello to the family of. Hello to my cousin. Hello to those who belong to the Lord from the family of. Hello to. And such diligent women in serving the Master. Hello to a dear friend and hard worker in Christ. Hello to. A good choice
by the master. And his mother, she also has been a dear mother to me. Hello to. Keep going. And also to all of their families. Hello to. And his sisters, and all the followers of who live with them. Holy embraces all around. All the churches of Christ send their warmest greetings. You guys were awesome. When I got to this, I was like, man, I don't want to read this. And it worked out well that I didn't have to, because you guys helped. Thank you. So you get to these passages of Scripture, and you're like, well, that's great. You know, hello to, hello. Great, and my mic keeps cutting out. I don't know what's happening. What?
Would you like to come up?
So you have all these greetings, you have all these hellos, all these signs. You have all these greetings, you have all these hellos. And it's easy to gloss over them. It's easier to just read through them very fast and not pay any attention to them. But Paul's writing these letters for a reason. And what I find interesting about Paul, if you remember, Paul used to not love Jesus, right? Paul used to find all these people that he mentioned and imprison them for the gospel of Jesus. If you were lucky, if you were imprisoned or you were beaten or killed or stoned or whatever, these used to be enemies of Paul, and all of a sudden, Paul's writing to this church in Rome that is filled with Jews and Gentiles. As we know, Gentiles is just a fancy word for I'm not a Jew, okay? And he's writing to these people, and all of a sudden, he starts pulling out all these names, and Paul somehow made fast friends with these people as he has this massive encounter with Jesus. As he has this encounter that he can't shake, that changes his world, that all of a sudden then changes everybody else's world, and he's recognized as this leader, this forerunner with the cause of Jesus, right? All of these are his friends. And it's easy to read through it fast. It's easy to just be like, this sucks, I don't know these names. But there's a reason. Paul's calling out the community of Jesus. Not just within Rome. He mentioned many other churches, many other families, many other areas, many men, many women that are just living this beautiful, dangerous life of Jesus. And I wonder if Paul was here today, if Paul claimed Whitewater as his home, I pray he would, but there's a whole lot of churches to claim, right? If Paul was here today and he was writing letters, and your name was mentioned, what would that be said about you? What would that be said about me? Would we even get a mention in a letter like this? And I'd like to think a lot of us here would. And I'm also honest enough to know that a lot of us wouldn't. And that's not that's nothing but truth, I guess. I don't know how else to say that without destroying anybody, but a lot of us wouldn't. So if Paul would write about you, what would he say? Think about that on your mind right now. I'm so thankful for, because. And if your mind is drawing a blank right now, that's the question you have to dig into right now. I don't know if Paul would say anything about me. Why? It's kind of heavy, isn't it? Did you just feel like the weight of the magic ceiling? The awkward silence weight fell? Did you feel that? Why? Why would your name not be mentioned in this list of greetings, in this list of what's happening in your world? Or the cause of Christ that you say you believe in, that you say you're a part in, but your name wouldn't get mentioned in this letter? That's what you got to deal with today. For those of you that can answer that question, rock on. Keep chasing after Jesus. Keep following after Christ. For those of you that say you have followed Christ and you love Jesus, I love me some Jesus. But your life doesn't reflect anything. The generous hospitality that Christians are famous for, ruh-roh. Yeah, but Adam, you don't understand that I'm a, or I have issue with, or maybe I don't have the, I don't know. That's something you got to take up with Jesus, not me. So we've got to answer that question, and these are the things, as we chase after one another. I sat with the leader of the Navigators. I think he's the leader. Anyway, he's the one that asked me to coffee on Thursday or Friday. And Colton and I are sitting there, and he said, if there's one thing you would love people to leave with, whether it be your church, whether it be a campus ministry here, whether it be just any person you have in contact with, what would that one thing be? And I thought for like a half a second, and I said that they would love dangerously. That's something that has had a hard time for me to catch up with. I've been a Jesus lover and knower for a lot of years. I met Jesus at 11. I was broken for my sin at 11 on a, man, I want to say a deep level, but my actions that followed were shallow, if that makes sense. And so I spent the time from 11 to 28 years old with this shallow life of Jesus, a life that I could not fill in the blank of why Paul would not write about me. And for whatever reason, I was okay living in that because it cost me nothing. Right? It's easy to say you love Jesus. It's dangerous and messy to actually love like Jesus. And so I said that they would learn to love dangerously. And that's what I see a lot of us here. I do agree that Whitewater loves dangerously. Whitewater is filled with people of great wealth, people of no wealth, people who voted for Trump. Are you laughing because you voted for Trump, or are you laughing because you didn't? I don't know. People who voted for Trump, people who didn't. I voted for Bernie Sanders. Thank you. One person agrees with me. Feel the burn, all right? With a healthy dose of, no, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. I had this beautiful conversation. There was a guy who was picking up his wife. His wife cleans houses and was cleaning down our street. And he shows up, and I haven't seen him for a while, but he's a Whitewater guy. And he begins to tell me stories of his world and where his world is at. And I was just out attempting to fix my son's brakes on his bike, which I failed at, by the way. This was one of those things that was building. I failed at that. Still is sitting there, and he's like, Dad, can I ride my bike today? I said, sure, it just doesn't stop. Oh, and do you see the heartbreak on my son's face? I don't have a bike, and it's your fault. But I'm sitting there fixing my son's bike, and this guy shows up, and this guy has had legal troubles. Not anything domestic, not anything like that, but he drugs and alcohol are in his world. And have been in a part of his world. And when cops show up to help correct that situation, he fights the police. Usually that means you're going to jail, right? I don't know. I'm guessing if I swung at a police officer, I would get hit hard and cry. But But usually that's a huge no-no, you know, fighting authority like that. But usually every time that he would get a call for drugs and alcohol or anything like that, they would show up at his door and he'd go toe-to-toe with them. So hates the police. I went with my friend, who's also here at Whitewater, last Monday to watch It. Nobody went and watched that? It's a story about discipleship. It's the life of Paul. But I went with my buddy, who actually is a police officer, the week before, and he actually lives right across the street from me, and it just made me laugh, because this guy's telling me how much he hates the police, and this guy loves Jesus, you know? And his life in Jesus looks different than mine. That's sometimes hard to reconcile, that those disputable matters, those things that, well, you don't look like me, or your life doesn't look like mine, so therefore you don't love Jesus, which isn't true at all. I think this guy truly, genuinely loves Jesus and is trying to figure this out. But I also have another buddy who loves Jesus and is a police officer, and I'm looking at across the street as I'm having this conversation at his police cruiser and just smiling that both of these people exist within these walls. That both of these people make up Whitewater. And on any given day, he might be the one fighting him and arresting him. It's beautiful. But what I'm driving at is all of us look differently, and if you would have told... If you would have seen me, okay, let's just say, for the first time that you've seen me, did Jesus follower strike you? Okay. If you would have told me that this punk rock hardcore kid would fall in love with Jesus and be standing on a stage, that doesn't make any sense. But there was a place for me. There was a place for me in the kingdom, just like there was a place for all of these people that Paul was listing. And their lives look completely different. Priscilla and Aquila, husband and wife team, they make tents for a living. They have a church in their house. They, husband and wife, are the leaders of this church. Beautiful, huh? Incredible. And they make tents. And they're very near and dear to Paul. Phoebe, yet another woman. He's calling these people out, these men and women, and saying, look, you guys are all over the place. You guys are from all different walks. You guys are from all different cities and towns. And you love Jesus. And we're all in the work together. And we're all famous for our hospitality. And we're all looking to Jesus for what's next and who's next and who we need to be hospitable to next, which is anybody that you look at. Anybody that's in front of you deserves your hospitality. Why? Because Jesus demands it. Uh-oh. And so we talked vision and mission last week. We talked vision and mission, and Whitewater has always been a magnet for the down-and-out scum of the earth. I don't know if that's a part you caught. Some people raised their hand and said amen, but I think they just were doing that because they thought I said, who wants seconds? On biscuits and gravy, because it was hard to hear in there. But I'm amazed at all the different personalities and all the different walks of life and all the different people and all the people that might come in here and say, well, I'm so far from God, I can't be used, and that's a lie. That's a lie. Paul destroyed Christians for what they believed. Paul destroyed Jesus-loving people. Until Jesus shook him up. You may have done the same thing. You might be destroying your own life right now through drugs, alcohol, terrible life choices. And Jesus is still saying, look, I have so much more for you than what you're doing, than how you're living. I want to turn your world upside down so you can go and turn other people's worlds upside down. I want you to live in the kingdom. I want you to live this kingdom life. And I want to write about you. You know, Jesus kind of does the same, giving people props. Scripture talks about this and says at the end, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. That's the life I want to lead. That's the life I want to see. That's the life I want to see you lead. This majorly diverse population of Whitewater. The problem with being diverse is a lot of times we try to find the people that we like and are like-minded, and then there's a whole population that we don't want to talk to within the same body because they're weird. I'm probably that person for you. I'm the weird uncle that nobody wants to talk to. They're weird. They don't live life like me. They live life in a messy way. They live life that is painful to watch. But us together in community, us together forwarding the gospel, us together getting over ourselves and actually focusing in on what matters with Jesus is where this community really starts to take place. And body life matters, people. For you to come in week after week and remain anonymous, I will clean this up, is BS. It really is. For you to come in every week and remain anonymous and not be a part of what's going on here, but claim Whitewater, BS. Am I hurting you? For you to come here week in, week out, and call this your home and not help financially? BS. Somebody thought I was funny. That hurts, didn't it? It's what? I'm so glad you said that. But it's the truth. And there's so much of the stuff that we gloss over. There's so much of the stuff that we don't care or read fast or don't care to read because sometimes it's passages like Names. But when you start really digging into the importance of why he's mentioning, who he's mentioning, and what they're doing together. And what the beautiful thing is it's not just a church. It's not just Whitewater. He mentions all these different people and all these different churches that aren't the Church of Rome. Do you know that outside of these walls, there are so many other churches meeting right now? That we are supposed to be working with to further the kingdom. Some of you have been hurt by these churches. Some people that aren't here right now are in those churches because they've been hurt by us. That sucks to say too. That hurts to say. But together we're supposed to be working hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder. Why? Because Jesus calls us to it. And so when we have these events, when we have these times where we're able to do those, even when we don't, I just found out when I was on Facebook, like 6 years ago, I quit it like 6 years ago, 6 months ago. When I was on Facebook, I was known for taking really goofy pictures or photoshopping goofy pictures, but every Christmas, I will take a cat photo. I hate cats. I hate cats, but I take a really dopey-looking Christmas card photo with a cat. You know, it's like the, and then you have the other, like the cat's like looking in, just the disembodied head, you know, like looking at you as you're holding the cat picture. Has anybody seen these? Well, I just found out from my wife, who does hair here in this town, who does another pastor's hair in this town, he said, please tell Adam that when he takes that cat photo, I want in on it. I said, I bet you do. Think of your own thing. But it made me laugh because that's something he's paying attention to, and that's something, as goofy as that is community. As goofy as that is, it is looking at one another and saying, I love you. We're in the yoke together. I'm not scared to be seen with you or with a cat. As goofy as that is, that speaks volumes to him and his world and his church. And so we're not just supposed to live here in this little cloister, this little cluster that we've got. We're supposed to be living the kingdom, in the kingdom, with everybody else that's living in the kingdom. And if you don't know what that is, if you don't know what Paul would write about you, pray on that. God will speak, God will answer, God will guide you out of the BS that you've been living, if you have not been living,
where he's called you to live, he'll call you out of that. Be faithful to what you hear from that. Be faithful in obedience to what God is saying. Be faithful to love God well enough that you'll stop or start whatever it is he asks of you. And you may say, Adam, this is sounding like a lot of works. You're talking about works. That's BS. When Jesus said go, going is a verb, right? I think. I wasn't all that great in school. So what is God going to write about you? What is Paul going to write about you? Where are the places today? Some of you are here for the first time. Where are the places that you're willing to commit here today? You know what? I love playing guitar, but if we were flooded with guitarists and I didn't have to play guitar, I would be all right with that. Some of you would be too, because you think it's too loud. I'd be all right with that if we were just flooded with people to come and make coffee. And the reason we do what we do is to make you as comfortable as possible and to let you know we love you. You know that? We practice. The musicians gather weekly to practice before Sunday mornings and spend time with music and learn new music and try to do excellent at what we do. We do that first and foremost for Jesus, but the second is we do it for you because we care about you. The coffee, the food, the people that invest in time and energy and money. Did you know that the food that sits out there is brought in by other people, brought in by you people? You people. On your own dime, there's no food line item on the budget to say we're going to buy cookies or we're going to give people supplies to cook or bake. No, they go to the store or they slave in their kitchen to prepare food. So we can live in community, so we can live and be famous for our hospitality. And whether it's your thing or not, enjoy a cup of coffee, eat a donut on us, all right? And then go. Because we're in community with the other churches too, did you know that? Kind of pulling one over on you. Yeah. There's people, you saw all the children's workers last week, right? Man, that's what Connie was saying is like what Paul was doing. Thank you very much, children's workers. These are the people that care for your kids. And by Sunday, a lot of us are tired of caring for our kids. I only say that because it's the truth. Yeah, so let the church do it.
BS.
Okay? But these are all areas that you can be involved in. Our youth. My wife loves my children so much that she saw a void in what needed to happen with the shaping spiritually of our youth here, because I don't know if you know, as we're a small church and we don't have a youth group. We don't really have any high school kids. We have like little kids that are growing up, and now we're starting to have junior high kids and high school kids. But she saw a void, and she heard from God, and God said, you need to do this. And she said, I don't want to do this. But I will, because I'm called to do it. If I would have said that to her, you need to do this, she would have said, BS. But it's beautiful. There's all these different areas where you can serve here on a Sunday morning. There's all these different areas where you can live in community with one another outside of these walls on a Sunday morning through groups. We have life transformation groups, and life transformation groups consist of no more than four people. And if you have four, you're supposed to start a new group. These groups are committed to reading scripture, mass quantities of scripture, like 30 chapters a week. Whoa, that sounds crazy. Is it, though? Is it, though? 30 chapters a week is what they say. And it's mainly just to flood your thoughts and your mind with Scripture daily. They don't want you just sitting and digging in. You can do that on your own time, too. But they want you just involved and just covered in Scripture. And some of it comes to suck parts like this, where they're mentioning names. Awful. Don't start in the Old Testament, like my group did. Some of that,
awful, really dry, not fun to read. But there's these groups that live in community with one another, and they get together and they check in with one another, and they ask questions like, where are you hearing from God this week? Things like, what my wife had to do, she heard from God, you need to do this. You need to be there for our son, for sure, first and foremost, and you need to do this for other kids as well. And then you have a choice to either do it or not do it, right? God's not some puppet master that's going to force you to do it, unless you're Jonah. I guess there's that story. Let's not get into that. But you have a choice to do it or not do it, and then you ask that question of, well, how are you responding to what you're hearing from God? What are you doing to carry that out? What are you going to be famous for in this? What are you going to get written about? Jeff, help me out, man. You know these by heart. What are the other questions? Good. He's on the spot. Confession. Confession of sin. Sounds very Catholic-y, but if you're Catholic, you'd love it, right? No? Emily? I'm looking at you. All right. Well, you confess sin to one another, and you know what? It's uncomfortable. All these groups are men's groups or women's groups, these LTGs, because they want you to be comfortable in what you say and how you respond. And usually, if you're separated out in gender, there's no, like, single men beating their chest trying to find a mate, right? Yeah? It's not a hookup club or anything like that. It's literally trying to just be real and honest with one another. And to say you've stumbled because you looked at porn this week, gross. That hurts. To say I've won the worst husband of the year award and I need prayer for this because it is my fault. I have not parented properly. To say these things out loud in a group, in community, you don't look like a hero, okay? You look like a person who needs Jesus. And this group usually, all the time, surrounds and speaks truth and life into one another as we do this. That's community. There's coffee with Oswald that meets in the morning, so you can actually get a good dose of Jesus and community and hearing about the things of God before you go to work. And there's also coffee there, I hear. So you can try to wake up as you're doing this. But it's a group that meets and just cares for you and for the Word of God to be within your heart in the mornings. There's couples groups that meet on Wednesday. They get together and they eat food. If you tell me you can't get down with that, BS. Okay? They get together and eat food and they have community with one another, and sometimes there's guided discussion, or maybe all the time. I've never been to it, but I trust the people that lead it, and I trust that they love you, and I trust that they're trying to build community with you, and I trust that anybody that goes to that group, if you ever need anything, they will be there for you. You know that? If you need prayer for anything, they will pray for you. If you need food because you can't eat, they would bend over backwards to provide for you. Amazing. There's Friday night group. It's a college group. I won't talk about it. It's for college age kids or people that have a college aged heart, I guess. Does that make sense? I don't want to discourage the old people from going. What's that? There's old people, non-traditional students. Yes. College groups, they get together and they just laugh, as you already heard. And they have a good time with one another. And it's a home away from home. And the people that run that, the Ingles, man, they're kind of like mom and dad here where you don't have a mom and dad here. You want to get deep with them, they will go deep with you theologically, spiritually. Why? Because they care for you. And there's also food every meal. And they are very sensitive about dietary restrictions as well. Sounds goofy, but it's a thing. I don't understand it. But there are groups all around. There are people all around. There are service opportunities all around. We go and we move people. We are on the list for Safe Project. Does anybody know what Safe Project is? Safe Project is for battered women and men that are unsafe in their living situation. And so Safe Project takes these people and tries to remove them from the hostile environment that they're in. Usually it's abuse all the time. It's abuse. We called Safe Project and we said, we don't know how we can help you, but we want to help you. And here's some things we've done. We've helped people move. And they said, oh, could you go help move this woman who is in a terrible situation? We will have the police on standby or the sheriff on standby, which they never have been, by the way. But we go into this hostile environment, and the guy, the abuser, usually the guy, isn't supposed to be there, but we've had them where they are. Fortunately, we've never had any incidences, but we love these women in this way. We even love the men in this way. We pray with those that will allow us to pray with them, and if not, we just say, just know you're loved. And I don't think I've seen one woman that we've moved come to Whitewater, because that's not why we do it. Here, come to our church. We've helped you. That's a poisonous level of thinking. We serve you to get you here, right? Gross. We serve you. We love you because Jesus commands it. They just went and painted a country church, Craig and Louise and Aldridge's and Katrina. And that's a church, Jordan from Snowy Range, another church. We went and we painted a country church. And we hit, I don't know, four or five other churches up to say, look, we know you guys have preached out here. We know you've been out there. And help us help them. We build community. We try to build community with other churches to go and serve this community together. So when it comes time for people to write about us, there's things to be said instead of just blank pages. So pray about those things. What would Paul write about you? We're going to spend some time praying right now. What would Paul write about me? And if the answer is nothing, then say, God, show me. Because he's got a world for you to live in that is going to blow your mind. That is going to change hearts for others. Let's pray. God, breathe life into this community. God, even those that are here for the very first time, breathe life into them, whether they show back up here or not. Breathe life into them, that wherever they might go from here, they will love like Jesus loves. That community will become important to them, that we will view each other as Paul views all these people. Thank God for these people. Father, for those of us living it, for those of us just living and loving dangerously, thank you. God, thank you for the saving grace and the message that has reached our ears and reached our hearts that allows us to run. God, thank you for the Holy Spirit that does direct our steps, that corrects, that guides, that rebukes, that shows us where we need to be loved. And who we need to be loved to in the moment. God, thank you for those people. God, I'm even grateful for the people that are here having to answer the question, where would Paul write about you? And they have nothing to say. God, I'm grateful for them to hear this message. I'm grateful for them to just be here and to be in community with them. God, and I pray that the challenge wouldn't just fall on deaf ears or hard hearts, God, but that this would be a turning point for those of us that have just lived in apathy or lived with an idea that someone else is going to take up the job that we need to be doing and run in it. God, you've called us all to run. You've called us all to be. You've called us all to go. May we put down excuses. May we put down the yeah buts. And just run in the world that you've created for us. And run in the kingdom that you are bringing here on earth as it is in heaven. God, infect our hearts. May we understand that life in the body here, the life in the body, big church outside of these walls, all the churches in this area, matters. Give us a love for one another. Give us the ability to love dangerously and put down anything that would hinder us from loving dangerously. Speak truth to our hearts and minds. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.